Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Castor, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you. Today's special guest is Jason Sumners. Hello, Jason.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We're pleased to have you here. Jason's the new director of the Missouri Conservation Department. You are the 10th director for Missouri Conservation with the recent retirement of Sarah Parker Pauley. So share some of your background before you became director, what you've been doing.
Well, I'd like to hit on the fact that I'm the 10th director. I think that's a great place to start. It really is pretty remarkable. The agency was created by citizens, you know, more than 87 years ago.
Yep.
With the ballot initiative to create really a unique model of conservation in North America. We have this constitutionally established agency that's led by a four-member commission that appoints the director. And what this has done through time is really create consistency.
Sure.
The fact that we have an agency that's 87 years old, and I have the immense and unbelievable pleasure of serving as only the 10th director, means that we've had a history of long and sustained leadership in the agency. When I look at my counterparts across the country, the average tenure of an agency director in a state fish and wildlife agency is less than 3 years.
Wow.
So as you talk about addressing these gnarly conservation-related challenges, addressing the challenges of the day, but thinking to the challenges of tomorrow, that change in leadership that happens in those other agencies just doesn't allow them to do the things that we do in Missouri.
Sure. It can be devastating.
It can be. And so I recognize the opportunity that this creates. And just, I think I like to start with that as just an appreciation of the model that we have.
Sure.
And that it is one that is led by the citizens, and it was created by the citizens, and we care so deeply about that relationship. Yeah, I have the pleasure of following behind certainly an iconic leader in conservation in the state of Missouri and across the country, Sarah Parker Pauley. She's done tremendous things for conservation in this state, and have had the pleasure for the last 5 or 6 years to watch in her shadow the way that she operated and built relationships. So super excited about the opportunity. I'd say a little bit about me. For the previous 2 years, I've been serving as Deputy Director of Resource Management for the agency, which I had leadership over all of our field operations. So our biologists and primary lands conservationists and our teams in the field taking care of our conservation areas and working with landowners to implement conservation. Our team that led science, you know, that provides the science-based information that helps us make decisions. From management of species to habitat interventions, our statewide resource management branch, which has, you know, our nursery, our fish hatcheries, a lot of the production-based stuff, and then our conservation law enforcement, so our staff that are in the field enforcing the wildlife code. Prior to that, I spent about 3.5 years leading our science branch, which is the place where I grew up in the agency. I started in the fall of 2009 as deer biologist, private lands deer biologist. I got there from graduate school. I went to graduate school at Mississippi State. I got a bachelor's degree from the University of Missouri. So I am a Missouri boy from origins.
All right.
Grew up here. I tell folks I grew up in Lincoln, not Nebraska.
Right.
Missouri.
Right.
Right on the banks of Truman Lake, Lake of the Ozarks.
Sure.
My parents, salt of the earth people. They both worked in factories. My mom sewed pants. My dad made gun stocks. And right. Our hobbies were outside, right? Some of my earliest memories were formed by chasing my dad through the woods. We had coon hounds in the 1980s, but that was a very popular activity. Raccoon hides were of great value. And then, so I come from very much a grassroots, you know, Missouri born, and understand the model we have here and very much appreciate the things that we have.
What would you say is the mission or the driving force, whether you are a deer biologist or now as director? What's the mission and driving force of Missouri Conservation?
Well, I think we've, you know, over the last several years, really honed in on what we see. You know, the mission is to protect and conserve the fish, forest, and wildlife resources of the state, and do that in a way that all citizens have the opportunity to learn about and use and appreciate those resources. And so when we talk about the execution of that, we really honed in on three really high-level agency goals. And they're pretty simple in communication of them. Execution is a little harder,
sure,
right?
Sure.
We talk about, you know, our primary goal, one of our primary goals of taking care of nature. I mean, that is a big part of what we do. Another goal for the agency is to connect citizens with nature. And then the third part is maintain the public's trust in doing that. We can't carry out either one of those unless we are doing and behaving in a responsible way that maintains the public's trust. And whether that's the way that we go about soliciting public input to formulate regulations, which has been a huge part of my role as a deer biologist and previous sure. role as chair of the regulations committee, right? Is how do we effectively engage the public? But then how do we connect them to nature as we look at society changing? And folks' interest in nature is still extremely high, but the way that they want to engage in nature looks different today than it did in the 1980s, right? When we think about, you know, a lot of people's connection now is hiking and camping and bird watching, you know, whereas we used to traditionally think about it as, you know, those really consumptive activities of hunting or fishing. While that still is absolutely critical, we just need to adapt to and recognize these different ways that citizens want to connect to nature. And so we take care of it. We want to take care of it, but we want to do that in partnership with the Missouri public.
So when you look at the agency, what would you say its strengths are right now?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think about, again, when we face challenges, we have so much public support. We may not always agree on the way that we execute on it, but at the end of the day, I think the public genuinely trust that we're using sound science and trying to gather public input in that decision-making process. And that our staff fully understand and recognize the model that we have. And without question, are some of the most passionate and purpose-driven people. Uh-huh. And so they come to the field of conservation with a deep care for the resource. And we have an equally significant number of staff that care about working with people and connecting the public to those resources. And so I think we always talk about our staff as being one of the most significant things that we have as a real advantage to us.
Yeah.
But then I cannot underestimate the public support that exists. And we're able to do things that we are able to do because of that public support. And it just doesn't exist for some other state fish and wildlife agencies. They struggle to implement meaningful conservation actions. And at the core, isn't that just inherent trust between the agency and the public?
So what does that support look like?
It looks like when we're, I mean, let's be honest, chronic wasting is about that as a super challenging management
sure.
approach, and it's affecting our deer population. And we've been able to take some very aggressive management action. The agency has the resource's best interest at heart, right? Like, what does it mean to protect this deer population? There are a number of states where the relationship with the public is not at a place where they trust the agency's decision-making,
right?
That they don't necessarily have that kind of positive engagement. And so our ability to do those kinds of things. I look at our private lands program, our community conservation and private lands branch. It exists purely because we have good, positive working relationships with the public. And so we're able to carry out a lot of conservation-related actions voluntarily, right?
Yeah.
In working in concert with communities. And it's the number of phone calls and requests for programs. It's just the public desiring to. It's the readership of the conservationist. You know, it's the interest, you know, mm-hmm. It's those kinds of things to me that reflect that great support.
Yeah. Well, when you talk about the building the trust and the engagement, how transparent are you as far as accepting comments, suggestions? I mean, how can folks best interact with conservation?
Well, we do it in a lot of ways. You know, we send out hundreds of thousands of surveys to the public, whether it's the general public or it's the hunting and angling public, to solicit their input and feedback. You know, we have Ask MDC. You can go on our website and you got questions, Ask MDC, and somebody's going to give you a response.
Right.
You know, we have a strong commitment to it. Call one of our staff members, and we have an expectation that you're going to get an answer, that they're going to work through it and help you resolve that issue. Anytime we make a major regulation change, we always develop a public input strategy. I mean, it's a key part of that process. Before we even start down the path of proposing a rule, it's engage the public, figure out where they are on these issues. Where do you think the pinch points might be, the places where folks might get frustrated or might not understand? And so solicit that feedback so that very early on in the process, we're informed. And then when we take something to the commission, they know and trust that we have done that work to reach out and engage before we ever make a regulation or recommendation. You know, some rulemaking processes, that's after the rule's been proposed, right? Sure, the rule is proposed, we provide public comment, and then it's like, you're pretty far down the path of already making a decision. We try to really front load all of that stuff in our decision making and truly prioritize engagement of the public. And I mean, Missouri Department of Conservation had the first social scientist of any state fish and wildlife agency in the country back to the 1970s. Now, nearly every one of them has them, and we got a team of six, right? So really, really prioritizing public engagement as part of the work we do. And talking about building relationships, right? Building meaningful relationships so that folks feel comfortable reaching out and having a conversation. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't agree. Let's have a civil conversation, figure out how we find a path forward and keep moving ahead.
Yeah. Well, and goes to my next question, which is obviously there are going to be times when folks don't agree. There are going to be challenges the agency's facing, tough decisions to make. So what are some of those challenges right now for the agency that it's trying to sort its way through?
Yeah, there's all kinds of conservation related challenges. And it got at the forefront of my mind are just the landscape scale changes that are occurring, whether it's land use practices, whether it's, you know, development. I mean, recognize we got growing human population. Our impact on the landscape is growing. You know, our demands for resources to sustain, you know, this growing human population is real. And so how do we find those balances of taking care of nature and recognizing that us as people really need a healthy place to live and prosper? And so what does that look like? And I don't know that we have that quite figured out, but it certainly is one of the most significant challenges in trying to ensure that we have habitat and landscapes that can support fish force wildlife species, but also results in healthy people.
Yeah.
And we can't have that without the people having an understanding of their healthy relationship with the land.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we struggle. And the result of that is that we're having to prioritize landscapes and where we work and the challenges we face today from invasive species and invasive diseases that make the work even harder, even in these landscapes that we've been trying to protect. And so it just becomes more and more challenging. The resource allocation to overcome some of the impacts that we've had on the landscape are harder as climactic patterns continue to shift. We're just coming out of 2 years of pretty extreme drought, right? And now we're in some pretty wet pattern. It seems like it's going to be a really wet summer. And there's no doubt that when we get rain events, they are much more significant, you know, short duration, but greater intensity than we've had in the past. And so we think about infrastructure that we have. Our wetlands and our boat ramps are in places that are pretty dynamic and pretty tough. And so how do we take care of that? And it's just challenging. Yeah. You know, so it's like it's these various priorities of what landscapes, what places are some of the most critical places to work in. And the result of that is that we can't do as much in some places maybe that we historically did work in, such as some lower priority, you know, geographies, some places where there may not be as much community support for management actions or not necessarily the species diversity that would have previously existed there. And so when you shift away from some of the things that we traditionally done, I think the user groups that have seen those things happen kind of grow to have those expectations. And when you have to pull back because you're working on feral hog eradication efforts or now chronic wasting disease has taken staff time to work on some of those things. So area management activities aren't occurring to the same intensity that they were previously. Folks ask, what's going on?
Right.
Is that no longer important? So those things are challenging. It really is, especially because so many of us have strong, deep emotional connections to places and that investment in that place. And to see something change there, folks raise questions, you know, and concerns about where the focus is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the symbol for them of conservation, right? Is that nature center or whether it's that geographic location you're talking about, that's their view of conservation. So if we step back, let's look at a statewide view. So how much land, facilities, does conservation oversee?
Yeah, so we have more than 1,000 conservation areas. We own or manage under agreement more than 1 million acres. Got a number of nature centers, shooting ranges, fish. We got cold water hatcheries, warm water hatcheries. We're responsible for a lot.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's another one of our challenges. That one of the beauties of the design for conservation is it gave us the opportunity to really connect citizens really close to where they are. One of the challenges of that is that a lot of infrastructure got built about the same time.
Yeah.
So we got an aging portfolio of infrastructure. And so it's asking the hard questions of, is it meeting our needs? Is it meeting the needs of citizens? Is it in the right place? In some cases, you take this step back and you're like, that may not have exactly been the right place to do that. And one of those things that I think about is the intensively managed wetland at Columbia Bottoms, the confluence of the Missouri and the Mississippi River. And we put a ton of infrastructure in that place with hopes that, you know, it would serve as a giant hub for conservation kind of on the edges of St. Louis. What we've realized is, boy, those two big rivers at the confluence, it's a floodplain for a reason, and the rivers want it, you know? Yeah. And so we invested a ton of resources and continue to repair levees and rebuild roads and just taking the step back and saying, you know, I'm not sure this is a wise use of citizens' resources, of the tax dollars. Yeah. And so having to reassess the way that we manage that property and then, you know, making the decision to do a giant setback levee there, which is great for flood retention. It'll create some different wetlands, but it's stepping away from it being intensively managed in the same way that it used to be. And so the waterfowl hunting community asking the question of, where are we with wetland and waterfowl conservation, right? It's still absolutely a priority, but that just wasn't the right place. We were trying to force something there that shouldn't be there. And so sometimes that means projects take longer as we think really thoughtfully about the way that system operates. Another example is Fountain Grove Pump Station. I mean, the thing, it's taken us a decade to get done. And part of that's because the Grand River, that whole system has changed from the time that we initially designed it, and we got a bunch of flood events. But hey, positive news is we tested that thing the other day and there's water flowing out of it. And so we're making progress and we believe it's something that will be sustainable for a long period of time. But those longer, more deliberate, more thoughtful conversations means that it takes longer to fix things sometimes. And folks are impatient. Sure. And I totally get that, you know.
Yeah.
And that just makes them question, where are we and what are we doing? And so it highlights our need to be transparent in communications of where we are, what we stand for, what we're thinking about, and why sometimes it takes a little longer than some folks might desire to get things done.
Right. Well, I mean, come on, Jason. You've got 1,000 structures, 1 million acres. You probably have thousands of staff, right? So, I mean, how many does conservation have that tries to manage all of this?
Yeah, as we talked about infrastructure, we estimate if we were to replace all the infrastructure we have, we would have about $2 billion worth of infrastructure. So to put that in scale, yeah, we've got an infrastructure management tracking system where we're tracking over 50,000 assets. Mm. That is no small amount of work. And it's across the board, you know, right. It's from the Iowa border to the Arkansas border, from Kansas to Illinois, right? I mean, it is across the state. And we have a dedicated team of 1,800. That includes about 1,450 that are full-time, you know, salaried staff, and then about 400 seasonal staff that work on research projects or doing local area maintenance kinds of activities and are a really important part of our team. So,
sure. Yeah,
we have about 1,800 team members that are trying to carry out this very audacious mission.
Right. Yeah. Well, and obviously, too, you rely a great deal on volunteers that help support that effort.
Oh, we do. I think when we talk about volunteers, I have a special place in my heart for our volunteers, especially at our nature centers. You know, it's just a really cool and very passionate group of people that show up every day, and they absolutely expand our ability to carry out and deliver conservation.
Yeah.
Especially deliver programs. But when we talk about volunteers, it also expands to our massive network of partners. You know, the work of conservation in this state is not done only by the Department of Conservation.
Right.
We have such an amazing group of counties and communities and non-governmental organizations and you know, even our other, you know, in-state, you know, government partners and federal partners that help us carry out this work. And I think that sort of collaborative relationship with folks who say, hey, I want to give my time back, whether it's a shooting range or a nature center or help with a program. But then these other state and federal partners, the things we're able to do here in Missouri and the culture that we have, the working relationships that we have across all of those entities are just remarkable. And again, we pat ourselves on the back at times about the Missouri model. And I don't think folks just appreciate the level of continuity that occurs across all of those organizations. It just doesn't exist in other states. I have the opportunity to engage with my counterparts across the country. And they're like, man, how do you guys pull together, you know, seven agencies and figure out you're going to work together to eliminate feral hogs? And you just charge ahead. You
know, right.
We can't figure out. We don't have the culture. We don't have the initiative to do it, right? We just don't have all the things in place to make that happen. And you guys just simply do it. And I'm like, yeah, we just do it. We just make it happen. And it's just a special part of the secret sauce that really is the broader conservation community of Missouri. It's truly unique and so special, and one that every day I think we sort of pinch ourselves that we get to work for this agency.
Sure. Well, I jokingly say, as the 10th director, your primary job is to keep the progress going, right?
It is.
So what are your priorities as you enter into these first days?
Yeah. So, you know, my priorities really have been to say that I've been part of the leadership team that's been behind a lot of the work the agency's been doing the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so my fingerprints, either directly or in the background, are all over things that we've been doing. And so really our work to say, hey, here's the places we want to go to work. Here's the communities we want to engage. Here's the way that we want to do it, the way that we want to engage with the public and continue that strong relationship is sort of what I've been trying to reassure folks of. We are barreling down this path and we are going to continue the conversation with the commission. You know, they greatly, you know, support the direction we have been on as an agency and have said, hey, we want a smooth transition. You guys are headed in a great direction. They know that I've been a big part of that. And so let's continue down this path. And so there's not some giant shift that's going to happen with this agency. We are still committed to the important work of taking care of our fish, forest, and wildlife and doing that alongside the Missouri public.
Well, Jason, thank you for coming today. Thank you for the work you and your staff are doing to preserve Missouri's natural habitat.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, it's, again, I underemphasize the significance of this role and the responsibility, but the opportunity to continue a strong legacy of conservation in this state. And we've been on a good path, and I hope to continue that legacy.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.